Okay, and thank you so much. And our study tonight is number 136 on wisdom. And Jack's interlinear. And we spent about 5 or 6 studies on the mystery of godliness. I don't know, I kind of got choked up there a little bit on the mystery of godliness. And now, as we went into 1 Timothy 4 last time, then it changed over to the mystery of iniquity, and the first 5 verses is its characteristics, the mystery of iniquity, and we're certainly not going to take 4 or 5 studies on that. But the verses 1 through 5 deals with the characteristics and what is needed to meet it, or to meet these. And we got down through verse 2, but we didn't read the, and we read Jack's notes on it out, and we read it in the Koine Greek, but we didn't get to the scripture verses that Jack usually puts forth. And so I want to read 2 again because it's very short, and then we'll read the scripture verses and look up the scripture verses that goes with it. And it says, speaking lies in hypocrisy and having their conscience seared with a hot iron. So he's talking here about latter times, and we had a pretty good discussion on latter times. And certainly I'm in agreement with a lot of people that seem to understand that this is written 2,000 years ago. And I guess it was latter times when Paul got this message and brought it forth. But look at the years that's passed between then and now. But, and we talked a little bit about how things seemed to involve around that aspect of the situation too. So we realize that a lot of this is going around now, and it seems to be worse and worse as we go along. And but I guess if you are believing in your lies and telling lies, that sometimes it gets to be something that you don't really think much about anymore, and if it suits your purpose, then there's people that are doing that, and they certainly are. And I've been getting a lot of spam messages lately, and it seems like it's 4, 5, or 6 a day. And they're not who they say they are, certainly.
You think?
I don't give them any credence to what they're going to say, so I don't answer to the phone anymore if it comes up spam deals. So I know they're wanting something that they're going to try to get for nothing. And so let's see what Jack put forth on this. So we got 3 or 4, 5 places we need to look at here. Turn with me back to Matthew. Let's look at the 23rd chapter of Matthew for just a minute. And we'll see what Jack Everly said and left with us to look at, because I still got it marked out in the Bible. And We're going to go to chapter 23 and look at verse 13. It says, talking about those that exalt themselves shall be abased, and he that shall humble himself shall be exalted. But 13 is what Jack wanted us to look at, and said, and whosoever shall exalt himself shall be abased, and he that shall humble himself. No, I've already read that. But woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees and hypocrites, for you shut up the kingdom of heaven against men, for you neither go in yourselves, neither suffer ye them that are entering to go in. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees and hypocrites, for you devour widows' houses for a pretense, making long prayers. Therefore you shall receive the greater damnation. And it goes on and on. But this gives you the understanding that they are those out there that continually strive to make, I guess what they call a living out of it, which is, to me, it's really not something that I would even give any credence to at all. And as bad as it is, it seems like it's just getting worse and worse. Okay, let's go from Matthew to Galatians. We're going to look at 2:13 in the book of Galatians. Chapter 2, verse 13. Let me see if I can get over here and find it. Okay, Galatians 2:13. And it says this. He was talking about it said, well, let's go back to 11, 2:11 and start there. But when Peter was come to Antioch, Paul says, I withstood him to the face because he was to be blamed. For before that, certain came from James, and he did eat with the Gentiles. But when they were come, he withdrew and separated himself, fearing them which were of the circumcision. And the other Jews dissembled likewise with him, insomuch that Barnabas also was carried away with a dissimulation. So that was one thing that Paul didn't care for, evidently, but in Galatians here it was understood that that Peter was eating with the Gentiles, but when some of the other Jews come by, then he got up and left and caused them to leave too. So, you know, his testimony wasn't very good there because he did something that Paul was concerned about, in the fact that they were going to do what Peter done. And so Paul took, a different course of action with this. And so he said, I withstood him to the face. And so, that didn't show love as to what went on there. It showed truly, the separation that people find themselves in with other folks that they don't think that thinks or does the same way they do or even eat with them as far as that goes. And so this food thing with the Jews was a big deal. And so the next two or three verses, here, going down to verse 5, will let us understand this as we go along. That was on page 1751. I forgot to tell you that. And so the next one we're going to look at is Titus. This is what Jack has given to us to look at. And we're going to look at Titus 1:13-16. And that's on page 1817 if you have a companion Bible. And I'm sure just about everybody does. Okay. 1817, Titus says, in 1:13-16. It says, "This witness is true. Wherefore rebuke them sharply, that they may be sound in the faith, not giving heed to Jewish fables and commandments of men that turn from the truth." Talking about those things that are false. "Unto the pure, all things are pure. But unto them that are defiled and unbelieving is nothing pure. But even their minds and conscience is defiled. They profess that they know God, but in works they deny him, being abominable and disobedient, and in unto every good work reprobate." And then 2:1 says, "But speak thou the things which becomes sound doctrine." Don't fall for the lies that men put forth. And there are many, and they seem to be more and more in this day and age. And then go from Titus 1, let's look at two pages over. Let's look at page 18:19. And let's look at chapter 3 and read from 8 through 11 there. Okay, and it says this in Titus 3, 8 through 11. "This is a faithful saying, and these things I will, that thou affirm constantly, that they which have believed in God might be careful to maintain good works. These things are good and profitable unto men. But avoid foolish questions and genealogies and contentions and strivings about the law, for they are unprofitable and vain. A man that is a heretic after the first and second admonition, reject." So you find that there are all kinds of people out there that want to argue and be contentious about things that they don't really understand, because if the truth is not with them and in them, then they have to try to jack it up to make it fit their situation. And that's what happens lots of times. So that was the three or four places here that Jack wanted us to see about this verse of speaking of lies and hypocrisy branded in their own conscience. And so that was what we left out last week, because we had ran over time. Let me go back to 1 Timothy 4 again. I took my notes out there, and then, yeah, here we go. Verse 3. This is where we really should have started now, but here we are. We just ended up finishing up what we didn't do last week. Here's verse 3. It says, forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from meats which God hath created to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth. Okay. So looking at my own notes, and I read it and understand that the Church of Rome has been shown to be guilty of this somewhat down through the ages, because it says in the notes that it has been applied to the Church of Rome, but only to its official heads, for the celibacy of priests and of monks and of nuns, and not to its members. And I'm not really sure where the Church of Rome has any membership or not. I don't know how they work their deal, but I know they have people that come there to worship, so to speak. So I guess that's what they're talking about.
That's Catholicism.
Huh?
It's Catholicism at large.
At large, yeah. Okay, and I put in my notes that these people has caused a lot of harm to the others of that group that worships that way, and also especially for the children, because a lot of the children have been put in a bad position a lot of times by the heads of these places. And it says, not only that, but the command to abstain from meats. And you remember in Acts 10, where Peter was had been summoned by, really by a Gentile leader of the Roman army, and it asked for Paul to come to see him. And while he was up on the rooftop preaching, while he was up on the rooftop praying, he was in a trance, or became in a trance, and God let a sheet down with all these animals on it, and says, here, take it, eat. Making a show, you know, of, or a change in what the Jewish people could eat. And Peter said, no, God, I've never involved myself in any of that. And so he did it three times. And I think it took him a little while to understand what he was getting at, but he was saying, what I say is clean is clean.
Yep.
And so...
Only the one who declares it dirty,
yeah,
has the ability to say it is now clean.
Yeah. So, and there's a reason for that. And... to take it eat, Peter said he had never partook. And this was a man's commandment. All these things that they couldn't eat, that was done by man, I think, to begin with. It was from religious thoughts, in a reversal to what God's desire was. And you know, anything that goes according to a reversal of what God chooses or wishes, there's a problem with that. And it goes on to give the understanding that which God hath created to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth. So there's this deal to take and eat if it's given, and prayer has been given with it to God for that, whatever it is that you're going to partake of. Because it has actually been set aside or sanctified or made holy by giving thanks for it. And so this is part of
the current dispensation.
Yeah, this is part of Christ now, that is part of his work through the Holy Spirit. And we need to remember to give thanks for all the stuff that we have to eat, because if it's given with thanks properly, then it's pure. It's been purified. You know, whether you think it still might be dirty or not, but that, you know, if God says it's clean, then it's clean. Well, that'll take away a lot of the problems that we just read over there about Peter sitting down and eating with these other people and get up and leaving. And so this is the situation there. Now Jack says, and if we look at it in the Koine Greek, brought down into the English, it says hindrance to marry, to abstain from meats which God created unto participation with thanksgiving with the faithful and who acknowledge the truth. And on down to the more modern English version, it says hindering to marry, to abstain from meat which God created unto participation with thanksgiving with the faithful and those who acknowledge the truth. Okay, and then Jack says this in his notes. We are still continuing the description of some of the teachings and conditions of the latter times. They were and continue to be those who hinder marriage by their teachings. Outright prohibitions were not the rule, but various rules and traditions were employed to discourage marriages except for procreation purposes to maintain the population of the groups. There were also many laws in the Mosaic law which were held to be unwaverable. It says, see 1 Corinthians 8 and Colossians 2:16 and Ephesians 5:20. The things are in this present age. We are enjoined to be thankful for his gifts of food. This is written to those people who acknowledge his present truths, who are the body of Christ. And so other than 1 Corinthians 8 and Colossians 2:16 and Ephesians 5:20, he didn't add anything else to his list to look at. But let's see if, yeah. Let's go back and look at 1 Corinthians. It just says 1 Corinthians 8. I don't know what part of 1 Corinthians he wanted us to look at, but we can probably figure it out if we get back there. 1 Corinthians 8. Maybe I made a note in there. Let me look and see if I did.
He may even want us to check out the whole chapter.
Yeah, but Let's start with verse 4. As concerning, therefore, in 1 Corinthians 8, 4, it's on page 1708. As concerning, therefore, the eating of those things which are offered in sacrifice to idols, we know that an idol is nothing in the world, and that there is none other God but one. For though they be that are called gods, whether in heaven or in earth, as there be gods many and lords many, but unto us there is but one God, the Father of whom are all things, and we in him, and one Lord, Jesus Christ, by whom are all things, and we by him. Howbeit there is not in every man that knowledge. For some with conscience of the idol unto this hour eat it as if it's a thing offered unto an idol, and their conscience be weak, is defiled. But meat commendeth us not to God, for neither if we eat are we the better, neither if we eat not are we the worse. But take heed, lest by any means this liberty of yours, and we could add in ours, becomes a stumbling block to them that are weak. For if any man see thee, which hath knowledge, sit at meat in the idol's temple, shall not the conscience of him which is weak is emboldened to eat those things which are offered to idols? And through thy knowledge shall the weak brother perish for whom Christ died. But when you sin so against the brethren and wound their weak conscience, you sin against Christ. Wherefore, if meat maketh my brothers to offend, I will eat no flesh while the world standeth, lest I make my brother to offend. So that is what Jack wanted us to see in part of that. Now, let's look at Ephesians 5:20. We're going to read 18 through 21. Ephesians 5:20. I did mark that one out for sure. Ephesians 5:18 to 21. That's on page 1768. It says in 17, let's go back to 17. Wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Now, there's one other that he talked about, and that's Colossians 1:15-16. Okay. Colossians 1:15-16 on page 1782. I hate to start in the middle of it. Talking about the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature, full stop. For by him were all things created that are in heaven, that are in the earth, the visible and the invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. And I can't stop there, because it says, and he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. So with Christ, you see, Christ can make it holy. So whatever he has put forth, and whatever he has put forth, and he or the Father has shown that it's good, it can be taken and understand it to be pure and holy at the same time. So that's part of the work of the Holy Spirit, that when we give thanks for things, not only when we ask God for things, but when we give thanks for what he has done for us, so therefore, we might ask for something more or less than we need, but yet the Holy Spirit does the interpretation, because that's one of the first jobs of the Holy Spirit, was to interpret these things to God, and to interpret things from one man to another that didn't speak the same language. And so we have that understanding that that was part of the gifts that were turned over to mankind because of the Lord's blood that had been shed for all of us. So when we ask, when we thank God for what he has given to us, then it becomes blessed, and it becomes that that we can use in our bodies and not have to worry about it. And there's, in the next verse of scripture, it gives us understanding about when Christ was here on the earth, and he didn't feed these people.